Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Outdoor Line of 710 ESPN Seattle, streaming live on MyNorthWest.com. Don't forget about the venerable TheOutdoorLine.com with blogs, podcasts, and so very, very much more. Joey Pyburn.
Good morning.
Rob Ensley coming at us from Gig Harbor, Washington. How you doing?
Morning, guys. I'm doing great. You guys?
It's welcome to January 300th.
Yeah,
or
it's right?
The 30th. Just the 30th.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's been a long January, but even we've been out fishing a few times too, and it's still I cannot wait 1 month for us to be rolling on out to CQ with the Duckworth Sea Beast and go get after
some blackmouth.
Dude, CQ, the CQ opener. A lot of guys, I bet there's going to be a population explosion in Clallam County, man. It's going
to
be.
There's a lot of people pining to go blackmouth fishing, let me tell you. Yeah.
So it's boat show week, the boat show online. The virtual show kicked off Thursday, and, been airing some seminars there. I got to jump in on the opening night with Peter Schrappen and Denise Whitaker of Como 4 and kind of kick things off. But, yeah, it's a different year. This would have been the Sportsman Show week as well. So, I miss that stuff. I miss, not being in the, not having the boat in the show and talking to all the folks and answering a bunch of questions. But,
Then just seeing everybody. There's people you get to see that you don't see, maybe you only see them at the boat show.
Yeah, that's for sure. And the boat show and the sportsman show kind of, it's as much for the folks in the industry as it is the folks coming in the front door too. Because just like what you said, Joey, it's fun to get kicked together with everybody. But I tell you what, we still got stuff to do, and we're going to get after it for sure. You are going to go get in the duck blind for the last day of ducks tomorrow.
Yep, have to. I mean, last day.
Yeah.
If you're kicking it around, you just got to remember that today and tomorrow that's it. We got to wait. we got to wait till next October till we get a hunt again. So. You got to get out there, man, or you're gonna be bummed out
so
if you don't get out tomorrow for the last.
What's
day.
The story on the later snow goose openings? Because there is some opportunity
vet,
in February.
There's a kids and vets on February 6th.
Okay.
Active military also, and then I think there's actually an opportunity for all of us. I believe. I don't know what that date is, but it's
like February 13th through the 23rd or the 24th, depending on where you're at. But it kind of varies. Definitely jump on WDFW website and check it out. But there's some really good opportunity to shoot light geese, snow geese, in February. And that's why they shut it down early in the season to give us a crack at them later. There's so many snow geese now, both on the west side and the east side. The farmers are like, you got to do something to get rid of these damn things. So they shut us down a little early to give us a crack at them in February, just to scatter them off the fields a little bit. So I believe it's February 13th, but definitely jump on the WDFW website and check that out. But it's going to be like a 7 to 10 day opening for snow.
Yeah.
Days, so
and you give those things a little bit of a break. They've been hunted pretty hard. They get educated. They get tougher to decoy. You just give them a little break. They'd have small brains, so they forget pretty quick.
They're not the only ones.
Yeah. and then that opener on the 6th for the kids and the vets, they'll have a great shoot, and they got another week off about there, and then everybody else will get a go, and those dumb geese will forget, and they will try to land right on their face, and you can then shoot them right in their face.
Which is only fair.
Yeah.
It's only fair. February 1st also brings our Skagit Sock steelhead season. Robbo, that's going to run through April 15th.
April 15th, 4 days a week. Just enough fish to have a season. That's why we're only fishing 4 days a week, and that's why it's being cut back to the 15th of April. I'm looking forward to getting up there. Once I get off this hip program here, I'm looking forward to getting the jet sled up there and hopefully trying to catch one of those big, beautiful Skagit River wild steelhead and let it go. But that's the program. I know a lot of folks that are excited about that. And then the coast, they're catching some fish out there on the north coast. That's why 725, I reached out to Mike Savadlo. He was out on the river when I called him, and they had just released a nice big, like, 16-pound native out there. It's not wide open by any means, but they're catching enough fish, and there's nobody out there. Everybody's gone home. You can't fish from a boat anymore out there, this season at least, emergency regulations. And so folks just kind of hung it up. And he's like, you know what, it's again, it's not wide open or anything, but if you catch a steelhead, that's a pretty darn good day. And they're definitely hooking enough fish every day to make it worthwhile. So Mike's going to jump on 725. And Tom, you mentioned that Seattle Boat Show Connected is going on right now. I jumped online yesterday. I actually watched a couple seminars. I jumped on Tommy Donlan's halibut and lingcod seminar. It's funny when you watch one of those, I haven't even watched a seminar in years, you always pick up a couple little things. I mean,
sure
I fish
do.
Halibut and lynx for a living, you know? But I'm always interested in what Tommy's doing because he's always, you know, he's always digging up new information and stuff. And I definitely picked up a couple of good little nuggets from there. I was texting him last night trying to pick his brain a little bit. And the online seminar thing is really cool. For $5, you can log on and watch them. You can't rewatch them. But you can get on, you can get the schedule, and you can sit at home for $5, drink coffee, and watch all the seminars all day long. So it was pretty good.
And it's
good.
So worth it for $5,
absolutely.
Man. I sat with Del Stevens, the tuna dog, and, man, look, that is a great seminar.
Yeah, it is.
And
look, it is.
He covers, like, everything so in-depth. If you want to tune a fish off the Washington coast and you haven't yet, go check out Dell's seminar, man. It's really good.
It's awesome.
And
he covers
long.
Everything.
I was into it, dude, for over an hour. And I'm gonna watch. He's got kind of the next version, like a pro upgraded one today. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna log on and check that out.
Yeah,
it's gonna be
pretty
interesting
cool
to
see how that
tuna season unfolds this year.
Yeah, it is. Nelson, eat your breakfast. Let me finish here. I know you get your breakfast delivered because I can hear you oohing and awing over there. And like Pavlov's dog over there. Has he got his breakfast? Did he just get his breakfast?
Oh, yeah, are you kidding? Of course we
did. Oh, yeah, there he is.
Kathy just delivered our delicious breakfast.
That's called breakfast sausage right there, too.
Your wife is such a saint. But it is boating. It's boat improvement season here. You mentioned that as well, Nellie. And so we've got our good friend Dobis de Kunis jumping on from Rudnick Manufacturing. 625. You know, there's all kinds of hot rod shops around where you can bring your truck, your car, get your truck lifted, get your car all souped up. There's not too very many places you can bring your boat in and get it customized. He works with Rudnick Manufacturing in Seattle, and that's exactly what they do. Plus, they've got a complete line of aftermarket parts you can throw on your boat to totally stud your boat out. He's going to jump on 625 and talk about what Rudnick has going on. He's also on our board of directors at Sanford Soldiers, just a great guy and a great friend. So 6:25 here, just a little bit. Dobie's going to jump on. 7:00, Bruce Larson, Renaissance Marine Group, going to jump on to talk about. Well, they've got a lot going on, boy, and the boating world is just tipped on its head right now. Everybody wants a boat right now. It's absolutely crazy what's going on. And Bruce's going to jump on and talk about what's happening in the boating industry. Also, what's going on with Duckworth and Weldcraft. I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff happening, Tom. With this company.
Oh,
so, and I know you know that you run one of their boats. So
I was in his office a week ago
and
I was, you know, I was going to take a few minutes of his time, you know, and just kind of talk about this and that. And then I walked in his office and I saw his desks covered with orders and the walls papered with orders from not just across the state, not just up and down the coast, but from the Great Lakes, the East Coast. And he even had some orders in Russia. Seriously, it's, you know, Duckworth has just become, you know, so big, but, you know, in doing that, they've improved their product line so much from a product line that was excellent to begin with.
Yeah.
So definitely looking forward to talking to Bruce. Always fun to catch up with him. And then Robbo, our buddy Mikey Z. Mikey Zabadlo. You probably talked to him this week. What is the latest and greatest?
I've talked to him quite a bit. Mike just loves to fish. And steelhead fishing is his thing, man. He's one of the very best in the Northwest at catching steelhead. And if you give that guy 1 ounce of opportunity, he'll make lemonade out of it. And that's what he's doing right now. He's going to jump on 725 and basically just talk about the techniques they're using right now to catch steelhead out there. It's not easy, But I tell you what, they can go. You can go fishing on the coast. There's wild steelhead coming in. Actually, they're doing pretty well in that Forks area. So he's going to jump on, talk about some of the worm rigs and some of the jig head setups, and they're throwing spoons and beads and all kinds of stuff. And Mike's going to run us through a bunch of that stuff. That's pretty interesting. And if you've ever fished with Mike, God, he's a scientist. He'll tell you, I guided for steel for a long time. I'd be like, yeah, set it at 2 feet. Mike's like, set it at 2 feet, 3.5 inches. You know, I mean, it's not 2 feet's not good. He knows exactly. No. Those rivers out there, he's been on them for 25, 30 years, and the guy's a machine. So 7:25, we're going to have Mike jump on and talk about the kind of fun he's having out there on the coast right now.
Perfect. All right. Well, tell you what, we're going to pop out here for a quick break. Give us 90 seconds. And when we come back, Joey and I are going to have a knockdown drag-out fight over salmon versus trout coming out of the smoker.
I don't think it's a fight.
It may not be a fight. We got to go over and go do the Rufus Woods drill again with Austin Mosier. So we got lots of raw material for our mad smoked salmon science experimentation here. So give us 90 seconds. We'll be right back here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
From the Pacific Ocean coast to your ears, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line. That is Joey Pyburn, Rob Ensley down in Gig Harbor. I'm Tom Nelson, Matt Nelson back in our Seattle studios. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Pour a cup, and hopefully we can help you get that cup of coffee down with some ideas about your boat. Dobby Stakunas is going to join us next segment from RudnickMFG.com. We're just looking at some of these accessory rod holders, Robbo, that, they work with any downrigger, but obviously, we're Canon downrigger guys over here. And there's four different ways you can mount this plate that will put a rod holder, but not just a tube rod holder. I mean, they got some really cool accessories. Dobie's going to join us in the next segment. We're definitely going to run through that stuff. But I tell you what, I don't know how I would have been able to set my boat up were it not for my fabrication guy, my Greenleaf Everett Sound. Everett Sound machine just does just a tremendous job on my pop puller and stuff like that. But Rudnick is going to kind of do that stuff in-house, which is, going to be really, really interesting. What was also interesting was we had a ball 2 weeks ago when we went back to Rufus Woods with Austin Mosier, and it was so much fun, Joey.
We had to go do it again. Trip. Yeah,
and this time we brought Kevin Gogan, who my old college roommate and played 14 years in the NFL, couple Super Bowl rings, and we post up stuff in the Outdoor Line just for yucks and stuff like that. Austin jumped on the transom, and Gogan's standing right next to him holding the big trout, and Austin's not small, but in that picture, it's just. The size difference between Austin and Gogues was just a hoot. But Kevin and I have fished together from Sitka all the way to Buoy 10 and beyond, and he got a kick out of that whole Rufus Woods program.
Well, I don't know how you can't. It's just a blast. The first time we did it, I got back and I had a ton of people asking me, like, is it those things fight? Is that, what kind of fishery is that? And it's like, look, any rainbow trout that weighs 8 pounds is going to fight. And actually, this last trip, I hooked one kind of far away from the boat, casting my war pig, hooked this fish. It shoots out of the water 3 feet.
It did.
Then I fight it to the boat.
I was going to ask you guys if they jump a whole bunch, but is that pretty rare to have them launch out of the water like that?
Yeah, that was the only one we had. Launches out of the water, takes off running. I fight it back to the boat, and I'm thinking, okay,
it's done.
This fat little pig is probably tuckered out.
Yeah, yeah.
And no, it takes off again and jumps out of the water again. So look, they're not king salmon, but these things scrap, and it's a fun fishery.
So
and they eat good. I see you guys are pounding.
Listen, stupid.
These things are built to go in smokers.
Yeah.
This smoked fish that Tom
full
did
of oil,
is it's
full
the
of
best
omegas.
Smoked fish I've ever eaten in my life. And I've eaten truckloads of smoked salmon.
Yeah. Dude, I'm serious. If you would have told me that this winter I'd be smoking trout that was better than a lot of the smoked salmon we get from Sitka and Buoy 10, Queen Charlotte's and Peregrine Lodge, and all that, it's insane. Yeah. It is absolutely insane. So, and so Joey was up working the plug bite. We got there, second morning we were there, we got there super early because we had to bug out. It was time to get out, at the, you know, and Austin actually had a rare day off. And so we wanted to, you know, get him off the water too. So we basically get down to our spot. It wasn't even light yet. And so we put the bait rods out and back, and Joey is just roping. The plug bite, that early morning deal plug bite was stupid. But, you know, here then the bait rods start going off. And the deal with the bait rods is, you know, you see them biting, you pick up, you open the bail and feed them line, get the rod out of the rod holder, and then when they're popping on it, you go ahead and, you know, you set the hook. Well, it wasn't that light yet, and the line was dark. This is so bad.
Oh, is this the tip wrap deal?
Tom,
I heard
this
about?
Is horrible.
Listen, Tom got yelled at multiple times.
Oh, this
oh, really?
This was,
oh,
this
yeah,
was
not just
horrible.
Once.
I don't this, believe it, Joe.
Yeah.
I don't believe
this
it.
This was horrible. I deserve to get yelled at, too. So so I started kind of watching him bite. The rod's out of the rod holder, close the bail, start reeling, and the reel just stops. So I know I'm tip wrapped. So what's the next thing? Then the fish really takes it, and then my reflexes kicked in. I set the freaking hook. He goes on a run. Yeah, rod goes down in the water, breaks the freaking line.
Yeah,
I mean,
I broke
20 pounds. And Austin goes, dude, you felt that tip wrap because I saw you couldn't reel anymore. What were you thinking? And I'm like, he bit, and so I jerked.
It's so funny. So funny because Austin, you know, he's a guide. That's what he does for a living. He can see that you know, you're not using proper line control.
Yeah.
He's in the back of the boat doing seven things, and he knows if somebody in the boat, in the front of the boat, is tip wrapped or
you
got
a
loop.
You throw some slack in. It wraps around your bail.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he went full send. He went into the send portal.
It was so bad. I
hit the send button. Off he goes.
I knew better, but when I felt that bite, I could not help but jerk, dude. I couldn't help it. You couldn't have stopped me. I mean, no.
Well, listen, there's something in a man's DNA. We're born with that in our DNA. Now you tell. I fished with a lot of women on the boat. You tell them, don't set the hook. They don't have that DNA. They just listen to everything. But men, nope. We have that response. We're born with it, and you got to set the hook. You just have to. You can't help it.
It was so bad.
Classic.
But you know that fishery. If guys are going to go over there, listen. I know we talk about those war pigs a lot, but those things work really well, and they're fun to fish.
What colors?
So the one that I was running that outfished everything that both days. It was kind of the one. It was white with blue on top and just a little bit of orange on the cheek.
Yeah.
But man, there's a technique. If you just go and you cast those things out there and you retrieve them, you're not going to catch anything.
So how heavy are these? Said they're about a three-eighths of an ounce, quarter ounce?
Three-eighths and halves. Yeah.
Okay, so they sink pretty rapidly? Do they drop pretty quick?
Yeah, so you cast them out. You know, you throw it out there. You let it start. I just mix it up because you never know. Sometimes I throw it out. As soon as it hits the water, I pop it, drop it. Reel up some slack, pop it, drop it. Reel up some slack, and they only bite on the drop.
Yeah.
So remember that, guys.
Does it swim on the fall? Is it swimming on the fall?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. Yeah. They're killer. They look amazing in the water.
So they're a lipless crankbait.
It's the
Berkley War Pig. And if you jump onto YouTube and just type in Berkley War Pig, which is a great name for a plug, by the way. You know, they're so much fun. But this Rufus thing, you know, and we've got two different views of the fishery, right? And so on our second day, did we have our fish by 8:30? 8 o'clock? I mean, we got there early.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, we were back at the ramp with our limit, and there was guys launching.
Yeah,
we had not that many.
We had Austin Sandman on the boat too from Honk Stumper Guide Service.
He's a dandy, by the way.
He's a tournament bass fisherman, you know, so he can fish. And him and I were doubled up twice in the bow of the boat.
And one time we had a triple. Yeah.
So that's the war pig bite. And then if you're going to run bait rods, you want to have about a 2 foot dropper to a 1 ounce lead ball.
Maybe not 2 foot, but a foot and a half.
Or
a foot. A 1 foot dropper, I think, is close. Yeah, maybe a little more than a
foot. It was a little longer than that. So whatever. A foot and a half to 2 feet to a three-way swivel.
No. Slip it. The rig slipped.
Okay. Run it on a slip. And then, you know,
3 foot leader.
3 foot leader to power bait, maybe a night crawler. We caught him on power bait and a coon shrimp. You can jazz it up with like a little glow pink squid ahead of it. But just drop those things straight down. put them in the rod hole.
All the way to the bottom, or what?
You're all the way on the bottom.
Water. Yeah.
Okay.
All the way, 60 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, you know, what you need to think about this is, look, you know, with Austin using a 1 foot dropper and a 3 foot leader, that power bait's off the bottom, but it's only off the bottom if you're using a big enough chunk of it. Mm-hmm. So you need to think along the lines of taking a piece a little bit smaller than a quarter, or maybe the tip of your thumb, your thumbnail, right? And you need to make sure that, you know, that it's going to float your hook, but not just that, your float and, you know, float your hook and your bait. Yeah. If you're using a nightcrawler or a shrimp.
There was a boat next to us, and I saw their setup, and they had three egg sinkers, like 1/2 ounce,
mm-hmm.
in line to about a 2.5 foot leader. They did not do well. They didn't catch fish, mm-hmm. because they're casting out there. The weight sinks into the mud because it's muddy down there.
It is.
And now your bait is probably only a foot off the bottom, if that. And those fish are cruising a foot off the bottom. They're needing to look up and see that bait, you know, 3 feet above their head.
100%. Yeah, so I agree.
That's the Rufus Woods rundown.
Yeah, I tell you what, and you know, I know Austin's busy, but, you know, if you check out austinsnorthwestadventures.com and jump on with him perhaps. But, you know, it's not that difficult a fishery to get out on, but it's got legs, man. It's going to go for a while. You're not going to catch all the freaking, you know.
No, remember, we were done the second day with 10 fat pigs in the box by like 8:15. Back to the truck with the fish.
Some of them
clean.
Look big, like over 10 pounds. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like 12, 14 pounds.
Yeah, Gokes was 13.
At one point, we had three. The triple that came over the back of the boat on bait was three fish, all over 10 pounds.
All over 10 pounds. Yeah.
30 easily. Pounds of rainbow trout, mm-hmm. on a triple in the back of the boat.
So we were home. We were in the driveway by 2 in the afternoon, you know, here on the west side. And so we went right to the cleaning table and took those fillets. I made brine. Joey started chopping. And we had that stuff in the doggone brine by 2:30.
Yeah.
And so then it sat in the brine. Then I took it out the next morning, air dried it, and then smoked it all day yesterday. And it is just absolutely
I'm growing a layer of blubber like a sea lion.
Atta boy. It's nice.
You've been hanging around Nelly too much, brother.
I have, too.
Log on to Rudnick, RUDNICK, manufacturer, MFG, RudnickMFG.com. Dialing in your boat with custom gear. Dobie Stakunas joining us next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome to the BOMAC Tech Line. BOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI shellfish gear is simply the best. BOMAC, we catch big fish.
Welcome to the Tech Line, presented by BOMAC. I'm Tom Nelson, that's Joey Pyburn, Rob Inslee, Matt Nelson back in our Seattle studios, and on the phone, tell you what, log on to RudnickMFG.com. That's the website of our next guest, Dobie Stakunas. How you doing, Dobie?
Morning, Dobie.
Hey, good morning, man. Gents. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. It's, of course, we should be attending the boat shows right now, but that's all right. It's still boat improvement season. And I know that Rudnick Manufacturing has one or two custom boats in the show that they've just completely tricked out. What's going on at the boat show with them today? Don't they have a couple boats in there?
Yeah, there's a couple of sleds over there. The one, the real showcase boat, if you will, is that big 27 North River Sean Turnbull's boat, and we want to shout out to Sean for giving us his trust in pimping out that ride. That is an amazing sled.
We were talking about that a little bit earlier. You know, you could bring your car in and get it tricked out. You go lift your truck and put a big grill guard and KC lights and all over the place on your big truck. Yeah. But there just really doesn't seem like that many places where you can go trick out your boat, and there's a real need for it. But you guys are filling that void with Rudnick Manufacturing, and you've got a bunch of new rod holders. Nelly mentioned earlier in the show, you've got a rod holder for downriggers also. And I know for me personally, I don't really like my arrangement on my Canon downriggers. I love the downriggers, but the rod holder just doesn't work for me. You guys have a custom deal for that right now. Talk about some of that stuff that you guys are cranking out at Rudnick Manufacturing, buddy.
Oh, sure. The rod holders are just one of the neat little items that we've come up with, along with a lot of other accessories that hope to get an online catalog published here really, really soon. But the rod holders are really something, and we've come up with a very ingenious way of mounting them both to the Canon downriggers as well as the Scotties using a universal mounting plate. So we're really excited about that. I think it's going to be really popular.
Well, and most downrigger mounted rod holders are lacking in that they're just variations of a tube. And tube rod holders are fine. They're very, very secure. But there's sometimes you don't have much margin for error, especially when you're fishing barbless hooks. And if you have to lift the rod out and actually feed slack before you can strike, the rod holder that really has caught me in Joey's eye is the one that's open. And so you're lifting that rod with a hook set motion. And I tell you what, anytime I can get an accessory that gets my rod closer to me and allows me to hook more fish because it's a more correct movement to grab the rod, dude, I'm in. You knock that thing completely out of the park.
And some of the stuff. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. The profile rod holder is really trick because you can actually crank down on the reel without the rod twisting on you. And so when you see that initial tap or strike on the rod tip and you crank down on it, it ain't moving until you lift it out of the rod holder. So it's really, really cool. We've had that on the Captain Midnight now for about a year, and it's amazing.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. And then the other thing that really caught my eye was if you've ever seen an episode of Wicked Tuna on the Eastern Seaboard, you see these open cap stands or open winches that are basically at the knees of the guys that are at the rear helm of those big bluefin tuna boats. Mm-hmm. I have looked at those, and it was this far away from doing that same configuration on my Duckworth, but I would have lost some storage just because, you know, and we use that quite a bit. But that's completely innovative the way you guys done that. It's a faster winch than what I have. But look, once you divorce yourself from the idea that the actual winch part of a pot hauler has to be physically attached to the arm,
yeah,
you open up, you don't have to have that big davit on your boat. And so what you guys have done, Dobie, is now put an arm on the top of the boat that I think articulates out, so then it vectors the line right into that winch. Talk to us a little bit about the genesis of that roof-mounted pot hauler with that capstan or winch that's inside the boat.
Yeah, the block is inside the boat on that North River that we did for Mr. Turnbull here. And the davit is removable, and it has a simple block up on top, that's the way Sean wanted his boat laid out. And so that's the neat thing about Rudnick Manufacturing. We've got the talent, we've got the technology in terms of 3D modeling and CAD development to proof out designs. We can translate those designs into programs for the CNC mill, for the numerically controlled press brake, and we can realize configurations that the boat owner or the fisher really wants.
Yeah, we were talking yesterday, Dobie. You guys have a 144-ton press brake in there that'll do quarter-inch stainless. I mean, you can basically go any different direction with that stuff. And what's going on right now, I mean, the boating industry is completely out of control. It's really hard to get new boats right now. Outboard motors, new boats, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, I had a hard time finding swivels the other day. I mean, it doesn't matter where you look. It's really difficult right now. So I think what you're going to see, and I'm sure you guys are already seeing this, is people coming in and tricking out the boats they have. Like, you know what? If I can't get a new boat, I'm going to bring my boat in and get it customed out, get it tricked out, pimped out, like you just mentioned a minute ago, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's the deal, is there's no inventory out there. So guys who want a new boat, you're not going to get a new boat probably for a bit. So take your boat in, get it dialed. The cool thing about that roof mount, you know, is anytime you can eliminate something that's permanently fixed to the boat and in the way, right? You see those davits on the side of the boat. It's just nice to get them.
They're fine. They work great.
But look, it's so nice to be able to get that put away on the top. It's out of your way.
Yeah.
Done deal.
No, I completely agree. And what boat does not want a fillet table? Okay, I tell you what, Dobie, you've got a really cool all aluminum, and here's the issue, with when the fillet tables first came out, they tried to use the UHMW plastic as legs, Well, they found out that over time, over sun, over everything, that doesn't work. And so then came an aluminum frame table. To me, this is the next evolution of that fillet table in that you have complete aluminum underpinnings and a UHMW board just on top. I really think that fillet table is a winner for you guys, buddy.
Right. That board is removable, so you can clean it. It's basically designed like a big cutting board for your kitchen. It's got a juice groove milled around it. And you can pop it out. You can wash it. You can sterilize it. Do whatever you want. Pop it back in. It's a pretty Gucci setup.
Yeah,
it comes in a bunch of different sizes. So you're obviously on the board. We talk all the time, Sanford Soldiers and stuff. We're on the board together there. What's going on at Sanford Soldiers, man? I know some of our fundraising events have been eliminated, some of the derbies and stuff that have really been huge drivers for Sanford Soldiers in terms of fundraising. What else is going on there with Sanford Soldiers? Super fun program, and I know both you and I just really enjoy working on it. What's happening, buddy?
Oh, yeah, it's a blessing to be a part of all that. I mean, the friendships that we've made over the years in working with our veteran and active duty communities is priceless. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, we've been hit really hard through this whole COVID white noise stuff in terms of our ability to hold events and, you know, some of our biggest sponsors. Have been the Lawsons up there at Friday Harbor Salmon Classic, all that black mouth fishing shut down. So we're looking at different ways to try to shore up funding for the program. Some really exciting news as of late. We were asked by the Seattle Seahawks to join what they've called their Task Force 12 program. So we're one of 12 veteran service organizations now that are being sponsored by the Seattle Seahawks, and we're starting to work together in terms of opportunities to get more outreach, to get more visibility out there. It's going to help with fundraising, so on and so forth. So we're really excited about the potential there. We did secure our date for our annual charity golf tournament, that's going to be this summer, July 17th at Alderbrook Golf and Country Club over there in Union, Washington. And that's going to be a huge deal. So we're looking forward to that. And then we're looking to secure our dates for our Day of Honor, our annual fishing event over at the Port of Everett. As soon as we secure those dates with the port, we're going to publish those dates and make sure everybody knows about it and get people signed up.
Awesome. Well, and with this being a humpy year and the early wild coho forecasts are out and definitely looking like an upward trend, I think we're going to be sending some vets home with some fish this fall, and I can't wait.
I think so, and we can't wait to do so.
Yeah, I hear you. Awesome. Dobie Stakunas, rudnickmfg.com. Thank you for your time this morning, Dobie, and you'll be getting an order from Joey and I.
No worries, Yeah, if anybody is looking through the website or the Facebook page, if you have any questions, just email us at sales@rudnickmfg.com, and we'll take care of you.
He's Dobie awesome, Stakunas, rudnickmfg.com. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dobie.
Thanks, Dobie. See you, man. We'll be talking.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
All right, coming up next for one final time in this January, the Raymarine Picks of the Week right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
Raymarine Big Splash Sales Event is here. So if you're thinking about spring or getting underwear somewhere warm, now's the best time to make a splash with a new Raymarine Electronics package. We're offering substantial mail-in savings on Raymarine gear and FLIR thermal cameras with savings up to $2,000, but you better hurry. By Valentine's Day, this thing is
you can buy
done.
A lot of war pigs with an extra two
could.
Grand.
Yeah.
You if you can find them. You better go clear the pegs right now, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah,
I tell you, if you see
clear
something you need for you
see
something
you
need
all.
For spring.
Take it all.
Yeah. Clear the peg.
Take the peg with you.
I'm serious.
Take
the
peg with you.
Take the peg with you.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, it's tough right now. I mentioned swivels earlier. You know, we pre-tie all of our leaders for Alaska. And I called, you know, Gabe Miller at Sportco, hey, how about these swivels? You know, he's like, yeah, what? There's no swivels. Like, so he had to call like three or four different manufacturers. They were back ordered. He was digging around all over the place just to get swivels. So I mentioned this the last month or so. I've been talking about this. If you need supplies for spring, best get on it right now and start pecking around. I spend a lot of time on the phone right now just getting simple little stuff like corkscrew swivels, right? I went right to the manufacturer to get corkscrew swivels. So anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit again here a little bit later. We got to get to picks of the week, though. You guys just got back from Rufus Woods, just roped a bunch of big triploids over there. I mean, you said your biggest fish was like 13, 14 pounds. This fishery is still going. Usually you get a week
down.
Or two out of a fishery and it kind of peters out. I thought you guys went over the first time. I was like, okay, we'll see how long this lasts. It might even be better now. I mean, Rawson's just roping them over there. I know some other guys are making over there and just roping these big trout. It's not easy though. There is a definite technique to this. And I know that have gone over and haven't caught anything. So, it might behoove you to book a trip or maybe just keep a close eye on these guides that are working over there because there is a definite technique to that. But that Rufus Woods is definitely the best thing going on right now, fishing-wise here in the state. The kokanee fishery on Chelan, again, in that same kind of neck of the woods over there in north central Washington, is just on fire. Easy limits for folks going out on Lake Chelan right now fishing for kokanee. Back here on the west side, last weekend of waterfowl, you got through tomorrow to hunt ducks here on the west side. Weather's perfect here this weekend. Get out and get some ducks here. Last chance for waterfowl. Also, we just had a text here, a guy chiming in from the 206 asking what kind of layout blind should I get, looking to upgrade my layout blind. I really like the Final Approach blinds. There's some really good ones out there, but our good friend Mario Frindy down in Portland owns Final Approach. He's done a really good job redesigning those layouts. They're a really, really great blind, so check those out. Steelhead wise, the Skagit and Sauk on, I guess it'd be Monday, bumps into the catch and release season. So you're going to get a four-day-a-week season up there, Saturday through Tuesday, through April 15th, to fish for steelhead up there, which is super fun. Also the coast, the north coast especially, south coast has been slow, but the north coast, they're catching some steelhead up there. In fact, we're going to have Mike Zavadlo on for Mike Z's Guide Service 725. Talk about what he's been doing up there. Salmon in the Sound, Nelly. Someone caught a salmon in Area 13 the other day. Justin Wong. From Cut Plug Charters went down there. He ran a charter down there, and one of his guests mooched up a salmon in Area 13. So there
Stop
you go.
It. Well, if anybody's going to do it, it would be Justin.
Yeah,
he
no
is
kidding.
Good.
He's
and
a
he
stick.
Mooches. He's just a yeah. he's yeah. patient. He knows the program. And anyway, they got one down there the other day. He was like, there was a lot of bait in the South Sound. Now it's a shaker fest down here. But maybe that's it. Maybe there'll be some life down here in Area 13. Halibut news. We just got some good news from Alaska. They just bumped up our quota a bunch up there. We have a reverse slot limit in Southeast Alaska. You know, we've been hovering like, I don't know, one year it was like 37 inches. Go catch a little ping pong paddle and throw it in, you know. And then last year we had a pretty good slot. This year it's under 50 inches, over 72 inches. So you can keep one under 50 or over 72 if you're on a charter boat. Now that's a huge improvement. We're expecting really good news on the king salmon front any day now. Again, this king salmon run starts in Southeast and ends up down here. So I'm expecting really, really good news from Southeast in regards to king salmon any day now. They're going to make that announcement any day. Boat Show Connected is happening right now. I mentioned earlier in the show, I logged on yesterday, watched a couple of seminars, including Tommy Donlin's Ling and Halibut seminar. Tom, I think, are you on today? You got a seminar going today on there?
Dude, my seminars are rolling every day, dude.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, so, cool. You know, dirty downrigging tricks. And here's the deal. If you jump into this at the captain's level, you can go review any of the seminars that you may have missed on day one or day two. So it really behooves you to spend a couple bucks. Hey, you're already parked.
Yeah.
Right. You're already right there. Bring the boat show to your couch and go check it out. And then, you know, if something interests you, you know, if it's a Duckworth deal, you can get a hold of me. I will definitely take you for a demo. So just because you're not there in person, you know, we can always, you know, give you that boat show type of feel. There's no question about it, Rob. A good point.
Yeah, and all the boats are listed right there, and you can they've got a filter, almost like looking for shopping for a house on Zillow or Redfin or something. You can filter all the boats. I was looking at some of the Duckworths over at Three Rivers Marine yesterday. They've got a pretty cool video tour. They got 3Ds on everything. You can check out any piece of these boats and see what's going on. They got a couple Duckworths right now over there. Again, these boats are hard to find. There's nothing out there. So also Master Marine up in Mount Vernon, they got a pretty good lineup of boats. But yeah, just jump on there. Get yourself logged in, and there's all kinds of information there, and it certainly doesn't take the place of the show. There's nothing like being at the show, but hey, this is what we got right now, and let's make the best of it. So yeah.
Dude, I'm happy for you guys, you charter guys in Southeast. You know, a 50-inch halibut, that's like a 60-pounder. That's a nice halibut, dude.
It might actually force me to anchor, Nelly. I may have to actually up my game here a little bit now. I'm looking at anchor systems. In fact, I'm going to talk to Bruce after the break about some of the anchor systems they're using. And I know you do, too. But, yeah, we're all looking at adding anchor systems to our boats again. Which I haven't anchored, I don't know, 15 years up there or something, and I'm like, I got to anchor
again. Is it one halibut or two?
It's one halibut a day.
One halibut, okay. But still, a 50-inch halibut.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. So we got some hurdles to overcome. I'm still holding my breath a little bit. We got some travel stuff. I mean, I'm just kind of waiting to see what the next wave of travel regulations is. But as far as the fish go, the fish are going to be there. It's just a matter of getting people there and going through some testing guidelines and all that stuff. I'm just praying that we get enough people vaccinated between now and May to really have a really solid season in Alaska. But the good thing is the fish are going to be there. So
every single indicator, and Joey and I just went through the NOAA stoplight ocean indicator deal right before the show. The ocean's in a better spot than it was for the past 2 or 3 years. We've already got our forecasts for buoy 10 with regard to fall Chinook, that's up. The wild coho forecasts, although they're not agreed upon yet, they've been announced by this Pacific Salmon Commission, and they're up. Canadian forecasts, the very early, you know, abundance estimates, they're up. And when we see, Robbo, as you indicated, ADF&G, Alaska Department of Fish and Game, actually announced their AI or abundance index, I think we're going to be looking at a year that you're definitely going to take part of. We're almost sold out on the Outdoor Line listener trip to Peregrine Lodge. I think we got 8 seats left, and then that's it. That's all. Typically, by the end of the boat show, this thing's sold out anyway. And we're starting to see some Canadian border opening task force information come out. And I think we're going to see that well in advance of tourist season. Man, it's going to be so nice just to get over the border again, you know.
I know.
Doggone it, you know. I've got relatives up in Canada.
Yeah, and so
we try and we get together every year, and it's been a family tradition for years, which was broken last year. And so, you know, and they fish and hunt too, and it's always just great to get together with them. My cousin Tony and my Uncle Neil and the rest of them.
Also, like those charters, those guys on the west side of the island and on the inside, they're hurting, dude.
Yeah,
I talked to some
guys
yesterday up there, and they're like, man, we're dying up here.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
70% of their business, some of those places, it's guys coming from down here.
Yeah.
Look at all the lodges on the North Coast, the Peregrines and all the lodges up there. Can they sustain another summer of shutdown? Come on.
And now we're kind of, because there's been a couple Canadian herring suppliers that have kind of got, our herring supply is going to be tight as a drum this year.
No, there's some weird stuff going on in the herring.
So I've been texting the guys, you know, we've been trolling in Southeast. Tom, you got me going on this, I don't know, 7, 8, 10 years ago. I don't know how long ago it was. And I've taken a lot of crap about it, right? Because our area, it's a mooching area.
Moochers,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But now it could be dawn of the downrigger this year. And we've been texting that around a little bit, and the guys are laughing and stuff, but I'm telling you, we may be parked on those downriggers for June and July or something just to get through this, because there's no bait there, and there's no anchovies either.
There's bait, but it's not the size of bait that guys want.
Right.
So here's what guys are going to have to do. Cut strips.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cut plug bigger fish, cut them down. There's things you can do. You'll still catch fish, and it'll force guys to fish a different way that they haven't been fishing, and they'll find that you're still going to catch fish.
Joey and I have been talking about a bait video, and we may have to sacrifice a tray of this stuff and kind of go through some of that stuff. Hey, stay tuned. We have a jam-packed second hour. Build a boat with Bruce, our buddy Bruce Larson, Renaissance Marine Group, the fine folks who bring us Wildcraft Duckworth and Northwest Boat, Rob Ensley's Northwest Outdoor Report, Mike Zavadlo in the Wildcraft Wheelhouse, and Roy Robbins is really where jam-packed. Hour two, the last Saturday in January. Not June, not July.
Not June,
January. Right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.